Well, good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing? Good? Good? Better from Sunday school? Okay, good. Wide awake. What's the matter? Oh, okay. Alrighty. Well, we're glad to have you here this morning. Pastor's still out of town, out of state, out of country, out of continent, away in Sri Lanka. Continue to pray for him. Continue to pray for the Bible translation. I can't tell you how excited I am to hear about the good things that are being done. I can't tell you how really how excited I am over it. I really can't. Can you tell? I said it twice. I just can't. But no, pray for him. They'll be flying back this week. They'll be coming back this week. Pray for them as they readjust. They're 10 hours ahead, so their time frame is going to be different. The jet lag is going to be severe. Pray that they get over it. They're back in their place Sunday, and I'm excited to have them back. Can't tell you how excited I am to have them back. No, but let's open up in a word of prayer, and then Hayden will come lead our first song. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be in your house, God. I pray that you would have your way in the service. Lord, I pray that you would be with us as we open your word, open our hearts to what you would have. I pray that you'd help us to use it in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Hayden.
All right, let's all stand this morning as we turn to 194, since Jesus came into my heart. 194.
What a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. I have died in my soul for which long I have sought. Like the sea, give us more. Since Jesus.
Isn't it amazing that Jesus came into our hearts? Amen. We're going to have the offering this morning. Gentlemen, please pray.
Lord, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for all who are able to make it out. Be with those traveling. Keep them safe. Be with Pastor and his wife while they're still on their trip, Lord. Just help that be fruitful. And just think about that song this morning, Lord. Thank you that you will not leave our hearts, Lord, that you are always will be with us. Thank you for that gift of salvation. Be with the preacher this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Please be seated.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, time to look at our missionaries letter. This is actually about our Sinhala Bible Project. Stephen and Jill Sorrell, who the pastor is over there working with right now. The letter they sent, of course, you know, they had some issues in Sri Lanka with a big storm last year. I think it was at the end of November. Hurt a lot of people, messed up a lot of things. So they're still dealing with that. But they start out their letter telling us that there's been some good work done to help the people. There's one particular town near Manar. There's a church there. And this town lost many homes. They've rebuilt many of them. And they've brought in extra sand, which is a good deal because they've built these homes up higher now to deal with 50-year floods. I hope we don't get a worse one than that. But still, things are getting better. And this church is called the Love of Jesus Church, a pastor there, Pastor Anton. The church was started actually by Stephen and Jill Sorrell's son back in 2018. So that's why they mention this church. It's in the northwestern part of Sri Lanka, I believe. Somebody else also provided a gift to them. They are able now to rent a place to hold Bible studies. They've been going out on the streets of Colombo, which is the capital, and now they have a place to do that inside. So that's also a good thing. The Bible Project itself, they say they've got first drafts of the books of Jonah and Ruth, which we are aware of because we've got somebody dealing directly with them. And then, of course, he talks about the pastor and his wife coming to help them. One of the main things they're going to be doing, and they are doing out there, is getting feedback from the Sri Lankans about the translation. Because the translation is in a language that's for the common people. Because the regular Sinhala language, apparently, most of it is for, like, people who are well-educated. And not everybody's like that. So this is a very important Bible, and I hope we do continue with our prayers for this project. Stephen Sorrell apparently was in America. He had a lung blood clot. He had some gallbladder issues, and they had to wait like 3 months to get ready to have the surgery. So he had that done on the 13th of July. He's now released for full activities, which is good because they're over there working now. And he's just very happy to be working on this stuff. Praised to be released for full activities. He finished a project that he began over 8 years ago, which is called, it's an app called My Harvest Helper. I don't think it's in full production yet because I looked at it and there's still some questions about it. But it's designed for people who are beginning to be laborers for the Lord. And we all should be like that. They've also began preparing for a missionary field camp that's coming up on Labor Day. 5 days of intensive, I'm talking 15 hours a day, of preparation for being laborers. and all the things that you will meet. I mean, if you've ever tried to talk to anybody about the Lord, you know the kind of challenges you run up against. So this is going to help people that are able to do that. They asked for a website that they're also starting to get set up, get more details in a couple of months. So things are going along. It's very, very productive thing going on over there. They do ask prayer for something that we've heard about here in the last couple of weeks. Apparently, dengue fever has reared its ugly head over there. If you catch it, it's kind of like having the flu. But the problem is Jill and her daughter Elizabeth have had it before, and the second time you get it, it's far worse. So they're asking for prayers to protect them against that, because when it gets worse, your blood vessels leak. It sounds like a terrible thing. You go into shock, breathing and bleeding inside your body, organ failure, and death. So please keep them in prayers to protect them from that. And also, of course, for the Sinhala Bible Translation Project. I'm amazed every time I think of the fact that this little church is involved in that thing. It's an incredible thing. So keep them in your prayers. The questions tonight will be three church questions and a spirituality question. Thank you. Come on back.
All right, let's stand once again this morning as we turn to 397, Little as Much When God Is In It. 397. Shake hands this morning. In the sacred seated.
All righty, if you have your bulletin, our announcements for the week. Obviously, we're excited. It's Labor Day weekend. Thank you for coming out here instead of taking your weekend somewhere else. Thank you for honoring God and being in your place. This Friday, we're going to have our singles activity. We passed out flyers to, I believe, everybody who it applies to. If you didn't get a flyer, don't feel left out. This is like the kids club and then the teen class and then this class and then the other class. And this is just this group of people. So be in your spot. Plan on being there. We're going to have a good time, games, fellowship, a Bible lesson. Obviously, we don't want to leave God out of it. But come be a part of it. And then September 19th, we have our soul winning class. It'll be one Saturday. There'll be refreshments in the morning. Sometimes are difficult. We have a hard time sharing our faith with others and how to share our faith with others. This will be a practical class, some pointers to take so that we can learn kind of just an outline of how we can go about sharing our faith with somebody, because that's the most important thing, is telling others about Christ. And then, like I said, be in prayer for Pastor, as he's in Sri Lanka. Just heard some great things from the missionary that he's working with. They have in their letter, I don't know if you caught this, but they wrote this, we have a translated copy of Jonah. He's telling the world that I have something that I can use. And that's thanks to the vision of the pastor here at the church and God obviously wanting a translation for those people. Something they can understand. Imagine having something you couldn't understand. You have a Bible on your desk, but it's in Spanish. You have no idea what it says. It's useless. So we're so thankful to be a part of something great that's happening in Sri Lanka. And those are our announcements. Hayden, come lead us in our last song.
All right, let's all turn to number 100, Day by Day, number 100. You can stay seated.
Amen. Aren't you glad for Hayden? Amen. Oh man, it's so exciting. I'm so thankful. I said that last week. I am so thankful that he's willing to do that. And Have you noticed? You've noticed something? He's getting better and better every week. Have you noticed? He's practicing. He's taking it serious. And it's exciting to see. He's different. You notice he's gone from this to now he's doing... Now, if only you would follow him when he does this, we would be okay. But he's doing great. He's doing great. Hayden, thank you so much for being willing to do that. Well, we'll have Children's Church dismissed at this time. And the rest of you, if you would take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 26. Matthew chapter 26. I had a whole plan of how these services were going to go. I had in my mind a perfect plan. It was perfect. It was great. My plan was awesome. It was wonderful. My plan was to look at Matthew chapter 5, look at the Beatitudes Sunday morning, look Sunday night at our identity, and then today look at bad teaching. Well, Sunday morning happened, and Sunday morning went great. It went great. Wonderful. And I'm not speaking highly of myself. I'm going somewhere with this. Sunday morning was probably the best message that I've had the opportunity to preach. I believe that. And I'm not saying that to make myself look good. Then Sunday night happened. And Sunday night fell flat to me. I don't believe that God's word, I don't believe that the message didn't get across. I believe that everybody got the message, our identity in Christ. But in me, in my mind, there was so much more that I wanted to say and do, but my confidence fell on me. My confidence in myself made me do something that night that I wouldn't have normally done. See, Sunday morning, I had a page, I had 18 pages of notes, 18 of them, and I didn't look at one. I'm not talking highly of myself here. I'm going somewhere with this. Sunday afternoon came. I got Sunday night. This is not a problem. Not a big deal. Matter of fact, I'm going to go take a nap. This is perfect. Went and took a nap. Woke up. Thought, you know what? Sunday morning went so well. I didn't need notes at all. I'm not even going to bring them. And I'll be just fine. Can I tell you, my confidence was in myself. What started as complete confidence, and I believe everyone here could tell the difference. I don't think that we could compare them best. You got the best and the worst of me all in the same day. What I'm saying is this, that my confidence changed from a confidence in God and His Word to a confidence in my ability to present it. There was a big difference in those two services. And so that night when I went home, I was discouraged. It's like, man, I failed. I failed so bad. I was a disappointment. I just felt like I disappointed Pastor. I felt like I would disappoint God in how I presented it. Again, I don't think that the message didn't get across. I believe everybody got where we were going with it. Sunday morning, the what a citizen of the kingdom looks like. Sunday night, our identity in that kingdom. Sunday night, I couldn't even sleep. I was so bummed. Like, I messed up. I failed. I trusted myself way too much. I need to learn something from this. There's something to learn. What does God say about when I fail in my own confidence? So you have your Bibles. You're in Matthew chapter 26. Stand with me as we read God's Word one last time, and then you can sit down. We'll pray and be dismissed. No. No, no, no. Not dismissed. That would be Sunday night, but not right now. This is this morning. Look with me in verse number 31. The Bible says, "Then saith Jesus unto them," them being His disciples, His 11 that were there at the time. The 12th one being Judas has already slipped away. He's already gone to betray Jesus. So Jesus is talking to His 11. Look what He says. "All ye shall be," what? Offended. Because of who? When? "All ye shall be offended because of me this night." The word offended here is not like you've hurt my feelings. You've said something mean to me.
I'm hurt now. Apologize. That's not what this is saying. The word offended here is translated means to trip, to stumble, to fall, to fail. And he's telling his disciples, you're all going to fail because of me. Not anything that Christ is going to do. He's not going to cause his disciples to fall. What he's saying is this. What's going, because of what happens to me tonight, you're all going to fail. So this morning, I want to look at what the Bible says, what Jesus says, what to do when we fail. We're going to look at the life of Peter, and we're going to see what happens. So Father, thank you for this morning. I pray that you would be with me as I present your word. God, failure is something we all experience. God, I pray that you'd help us learn from it and move on for it. Move on past it. God, I pray that you'd help us open our hearts to your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, why am I saying all of this? Well, I want us to understand that failure is a part of life. Failure is something that we will all face. Anybody who is successful has experienced failure. If you think of Walt Disney, his very first production, Laugh-O-Gram Productions, was how he started to make cartoons for kids, and it ended up being a failure. The company went bankrupt. They lost a lot of money. There was nothing that they could do. His first business was a failure. Now we see Disney as the biggest movie production animated company in the world. Other people have failed. Colonel Sanders, with the great Kentucky Fried Chicken, started his restaurant right next to a major highway. That highway ended up moving away. They shut down the highway and moved it, and his business started to fail. He used that failure to then relocate his business and start the franchise, which leads us to Kentucky Fried Chicken today, all over the place. Oprah Winfrey, many of you know who that is. She started her career as a news anchor and was removed from her job in her earlier careers. Failure that she had turned to success. Can I tell you, those are earthly examples. Those are examples we have of people who failed, but through effort and determination became better and more successful in their life. Here we have Jesus, and I need to set the stage for this, because if we don't understand the setting of what's happening here, really the failure that happens is kind of belittled almost. See, when we think of Peter and his failure, we all kind of have an idea. Jesus told him, you're going to deny me three times. And he denies him three times, and he's sorry. Can I tell you what happens before that is so much more significant when it adds to that story? See, Jesus is coming to the end of his earthly ministry. He is hours away in this text. He's hours away from being betrayed, taken away, beaten and bruised, and suffering on a cross for our sins. Hours away from this. Just before this passage, Jesus has been investing in them. It was what we know as the Last Supper. He was sitting with his disciples. It's there that he would wash their feet. He would tell them that the greatest of all isn't great because they're great. The greatest of all is great because they're a servant. And he'd wash his feet. And Peter would open his mouth and say, no. You don't wash me. I should wash you. And Jesus says that I have to do this. I have to show you this. And he says, well, don't just wash my feet. Wash my hands and my head too then. And he said, no, you don't understand what I'm trying to do here. See, Peter had a habit of opening his mouth very quickly in very many situations. He was always the first one to respond. He was always the first one to open his mouth. And many times what he said would almost be like, hey, really, Peter? Seriously? Dude, just shut your mouth, dude. We're trying to understand what he's saying here. It's at this Lord's Supper, the Last Supper, that Jesus would tell them, I am the true vine. All spiritual life comes from me. Who you are in in Christ, it all comes because of me. I'm the reason for it. He would tell them about the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit. How when he leaves, the Holy Spirit's going to come. And he tells them, he makes this statement, which I find very fascinating. He says, I'm paraphrasing, I have so much more to tell you, but you won't understand it. So I'm going to leave and the Holy Spirit's going to come. And he will reveal all truth to you. So what I want you to get is Jesus is investing and his disciples. They spent the last 3 years with him. They spent the last 3 years with him, all of them, watching him perform miracles. They watched him calm the storm on the sea. They watched him feed the 5,000 men with five loaves and two fishes. They watched him heal the sick, heal the lame. They watched him teach. They sat there at him on the mountainside when he told them the Beatitudes. As he taught them, this is what your life is going to be. This is who you are. These 12, I want you to understand, spent a lot of time with Jesus. So much time with him that they'd be the ones that if someone were to fail, you would think, not them. There's no way that they're going to fail. There's no way that they would fall. They've been with him for however long. They're mature in their faith. They're growing. There's no way. Here we have at the Last Supper, if you look with me at verse number 30, or look at me in verse number 26. And as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. I want you to understand the setting here. All the disciples are here. Jesus is there teaching them. They're feasting. It's the Passover feast. They're fellowshipping. They're having a good time. Jesus is teaching them. Jesus knows he's hours away from death. They don't know that he's hours away from death. To them, they're eating dinner and they're fellowshipping and they're worshiping God. They sang a hymn. Now, Matthew's very vague with this. He doesn't say what hymn it was. Nor do we find anywhere where it talks about what hymn it was. And we can make a doctrine out of this, because if we looked at traditionally what they would have sang during the Passover feast, it would be a series of psalms. If they were to sing the psalm that they would have normally sung, there's verses in there that talk about Jesus Christ dying on the cross. It says the stone that the builders rejected is now the cornerstone. In that same chapter would be, "This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Now, I'm not saying that that's what they sang or that's the song that they sang. What I'm saying is that if you go according to tradition, this would have been the song they sang. And it would have made significant impact if that's what it was, because they're hours away from this event happening. But what I want you to understand is this. That's all opinion. That can all be opinion. There's no doctrine in that. There's no facts. I can't stand here and say this is what they sang. But what I do want you to understand is they sung a song. They were singing together. They were rejoicing, singing praises to God. Can I tell you, it's the same thing of us sitting here right now. We're in church, worshiping God, listening to what God has to say, singing songs and praises to Him. Then they get up and they go out into the Mount of Olives. This is significant because I want you to understand Jesus knows what's coming. He's not running from it. He's going towards it. He's following the will of the Father as He's about to be betrayed and beaten and bruised for us. That's when, right after all of this, all of the worshiping, all of the fellowship, all of the singing, all of the fun, they're full, their bellies are full, they're fat and happy, they're out. And he says, "All ye shall be offended because of me tonight." Boy, imagine that. Imagine we have a great service here and we're all about to leave. And as we're about to go, I tell you, "Oh yeah, by the way, you're all going to fail later." All of you are. All of you are going to fail. Tonight. Today. This afternoon. We would all have the exact same response that all of the disciples had right here. Look at verse 33. Peter, obviously, has to be the first one to open his mouth again. Says, "Peter answered and said unto him, Though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Though everybody else will fail, I'm not going to." Can I tell you, that's what we would think in here. You know what? Kristen's going to fail. It's going to be her. I know it. It's her, not me. She's going to. Oh, you know what? Brother David's going to fail. It's him. Though everybody else is going to fail, I'm not going to fail. Not me. Not me. No, not me. Then Jesus saith unto him, verse 34, Verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, Though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Look at the very last part of that verse. Likewise also said all the disciples. There is no way we're going to fail. We'll die with you. We'll be put in prison with you. We're not going to fail. One phrase in this verse, back in verse number 32, I want to look at. He says, you will all be offended because of me. Because of what happens to me, you're all going to fail. What's going to happen? See, he's going to go to the Garden of Gethsemane and he's going to pray. While he's there, his disciples are going to be there with him. And Judas is going to show up with the high priests and all the other Jewish people that don't like him. And they're going to come and arrest him and take him. It's at that time where Jesus willingly goes with them. See, they show up and Peter's expecting a fight. He expects that we're going to fight this one out. This is the king. You're not going to die. Jesus told them in chapters before, I have to go. I have to die. And Peter says, no, you're not going to die. Again, opening his mouth. You're not going to die. We're not going to let that happen. That's not going to happen. You can't do that. You're the king. You're not going to die. So when they come to arrest him, Peter's ready to fight. Pulls out his sword and cuts the ear off one of the servants. He's ready to fight. And Jesus tells him, put your sword away. That's not what we're doing here. And he willingly goes with them. Can I tell you, none of the disciples were ready for that. None of them were ready to watch Jesus willingly go with them to be condemned, beaten, bruised, crucified. They weren't ready for this. He tells them, because of what's going to happen to me, you're all going to fall. See, in our lives, it can be the very same way. When we sit in here and we listen to God's word and we fellowship with believers, everything's great. We're good. No, there's no way we're going to fall. But then we'll get out into the world, and when it comes time to identify with Christ, it's going to cost us something. And we will do what the exact same thing the disciples did when, look in verse number 56. But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him and fled. It's almost like God knew what he was talking about when he told them this. Can I tell you what happened here? This was a failure in their confidence in themselves. When Peter made that statement, though all shall be offended because of thee, yet will I not be offended because of thee. His confidence was in him. He put all of his trust in him. Can I tell you? I believe 100% Peter meant everything that he said. He didn't say something that was untrue. He wasn't trying to be boastful or bragging. I believe he meant everything that he said. But his confidence was in his own ability. His confidence was in his own strength. See, later in this book, we'll come to where Jesus went to pray, where he goes to ask God, God, if it's possible, if it's anything possible at all, take this cup from me. But if not, not my will, but thine be done. He's heavy-hearted. He's grieving. Can I tell you, he's experiencing human emotion. That's why we can trust him when we have anxiety, because he knows what it's like when we go through it. He's been there. As he's praying, he brings three of his disciples with him, and he names them Peter and the sons of Zebedee, Peter, James, and John. They go into the mountain, and he tells them, tarry here, you stay right here, I'm going to go a little further. Watch and pray. You three here, I'm going to go over here. He goes and prays. An hour goes by, and he comes back. And what's he find them all doing? They're all sleeping. They're passed out. They just had dinner. They walked a little bit. It's time for night time. They're sleeping. He goes, and I want you to, actually, you know what? Let's read it. We'll read it. Look at verse number 40. Look at verse number 40 in Matthew 26. And he cometh, this is Jesus coming back to the disciples, and he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep. And who does he go to? You're the one that opened your fat mouth. You're the one that said all this stuff. It's not surprising that he comes to him first. And he goes to him and he says this. Watch, look at what he says. What? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? You couldn't stay awake 1 hour? You just opened your mouth and said that everybody else will be offended. Everybody else is going to fall, but not you. And you're the first one asleep. You couldn't stay awake with me 1 hour? Peter's failure. I want you to understand something. Peter's failure in his life, Peter's all the faults and failures he had, he gets over. He moves past from. Because you'll find in 1 Peter, he writes to believers, be sober, be vigilant. It's what he learned from his failure in the garden. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he turns around and tells believers, be sober, be vigilant. What's he saying? Watch and pray for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Peter grows from his failures and in turn, it strengthens the brethren. We find that Jesus has been taken away. He's taken away by the chief priests, taken away, beaten and bruised. And Peter follows them. He follows from afar off. And look with me in verse number 69. The Bible says, now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all. Remember, nah, I'm never going to fail. I'm not going to fall. Not me. Everybody else will, but not me. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. I don't know what you're talking about. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him, and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. Two times. And after a while came unto him they that stood by, and said to him, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. What he's talking about here is his accent. Talking about his accent. You talk like them. Surely you're one of them. You sound just like them. Can I tell you that if the world looks at you today, they should be able to tell by your speech whether or not you identify with Christ. They should be able to say, no, that guy is a follower of Jesus. That guy follows. That's a side. That's for free. Okay, you don't have to pay for that one. That's a free one. That speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. And watch this. And Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. His failure drove him to sorrow. His denial of Christ broke him. His confidence was in himself. Turn your Bibles over to Luke 22. I want to look at Luke's account of this story real quick. Because how in the world do we overcome failure? How do we get past this? What steps are there? What's the point of failure? How do we get over it? What does God want us to do with it? Look with me in verse number 31, Luke 22, verse 31. And the Lord said, this is right after the Lord's Supper. This is right when he tells them, you're going to deny me. This is Luke's account. He says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. What's the point of going through failure in life if it doesn't do anything? See, there's very many Christians. This is a fascinating phrase here when he says that thy faith fail not and when thou art converted. Converted isn't talking about salvation. He's not talking about when you get saved, do this. The word converted here comes from the idea of someone who's fallen and gotten back up. Somebody who's messed up, fell, but got up and moved on. Moved past the failure. So he tells him this, I'm praying for you that your faith doesn't fail, that your trust in me doesn't fail. When you fall, you get up and you move past it. And look what it says, strengthen thy brethren. See, our failures in life, our failures in our Christian life, our failure in our walk with God can be used when we get past it, when we move on past it, when we repent from it, when we get over it, move past it. We can use our failures to encourage other believers. The biggest thing we can do, there's things in my life that I've experienced that you will never experience, that I can use to help somebody. There's things that you've experienced in your life that I'll never experience that you can use to help somebody. This is why the body of Christ is so important. This is why church is so important. You cannot be a Christian solo. That's bad teaching. Anytime you hear somebody say, no, I don't need a church. Church, I can do it by myself. I read the Bible and I do everything just by myself just fine. No, you don't. Because you'll find in the Bible that it tells you that other people are strong where you're weak. Other people have gifts that you don't. And we work together for the glorifying of the saints, for the edification of the saints. We work together as a team to accomplish God's will. We use our failures to strengthen others. It was this morning that someone came and asked me. They said, I can't make this up if I tried. They came to me and asked, they said, hey, I wanted to ask you something. How do you do notes when you preach? And I was stumped. I was, what? You're asking me this now? Right after I just messed up on Sunday night, like not by not bringing any? You're asking me this now. Can I tell you what happened? God gave me an opportunity to use my failure to strengthen the brethren. I can't make this up. I can't make it up. Can I tell you, God wants to use our failures to strengthen each other. Look back at Matthew 26. There's something else pretty significant that I want to look at. Look back at verse number 31. The Bible says, then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. Watch, for it is written. Jesus then quotes a passage of Scripture from 400 years ago. He says this, it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. What could have been looked at one of the greatest failures in the disciples' lives was God's plan all along. It was written in the past. Can I tell you, your failures in your walk with Christ are written in the universe of God's plan. God doesn't get surprised when you fall. It's not like he's up there going, oh, whoa, Katie messed up. Well, I wasn't ready for that one. Let's fix this now. A pastor may be like that, but not God. No, I'm just kidding. Our failures don't catch God off guard. He knows they're going to happen. It's what we do with them when they happen that determines our outcome. Can I tell you, there's somebody else that night that experienced significant failure. That would be Judas. Judas decided that he wanted earthly gain over Jesus. He sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. This is somebody else who failed. Matter of fact, look at chapter 27. We'll read it real quick. Look at verse number 3. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw he was condemned, repented himself. When it's not talking about himself, he's talking about when he saw Jesus condemned to death, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and the elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. Can I tell you, Judas was sorry. Judas was sorrowful. He was broken because of what he had done. His failure drove him to grief. And he tried to undo the wrong that he had done. He went to the temple and throws the silver back at them and says, I've messed up. Can I tell you, the world doesn't care when you mess up. They're not going to be there for you when you fall, when you fail. Look what they say. Look at the back half of verse 4. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. Can I tell you what today's terminology would be? I don't care. Deal with it. They don't care. And look what happens to him. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. His failure drove him to grief, which drove to destruction. Peter's failure drove him to grief, which drove him to repentance and restoration. We see later on that Jesus, when he's risen, goes to Peter and says, Peter, lovest thou me? And he says, yes, I do. He says, feed my sheep. Peter, lovest thou me? Yes, feed my sheep. Peter, lovest thou me? Feed my sheep. He restores them back to service. And what does Peter do? Peter goes on to write two books, 1st and 2nd Peter. And it's in those books where we find a man who was once so confident in his own self, so confident in his own ability. We read in his book where he tells believers, be clothed in humility. Don't do what I did. Don't be confident in yourself. You're going to fail. Be clothed in humility and humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of God. He's telling believers, I've messed up. My failures were here. Don't follow my steps. Do this instead. It's there we find, like I said, be sober, be vigilant. Always be watching for what the devil, you never know what's going to happen. He told them that your adversary is the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Jesus told him, Satan desires to have you. He wants you. And he fell asleep. Learn from my failures. Can I tell you, we are all going to fail. It is inevitable. You will not fail. It's going to happen. And there are two paths you can take. A path that leads to destruction. We can fall and never come back. We can mess up and never get past it. We can fall flat on our face and stay there for the rest of our life because of something that happened, because we failed. Or we can do what Peter did. We can be sorrowful. Godly sorrow worketh repentance, not to be repented of. We can take that, learn from it. I will never stand up here without notes again, ever. I'm telling you. We learn from our failures and we move past. Not only do we move past, we take them and we teach others. Listen, I failed here. You don't have to fail here. You can learn from me and we can go past it together. Can I tell you, what do people in business, what do they do when they're learning how to operate businesses? They learn from the mistakes of others. Don't follow that path because they weren't successful. We can do the same things. This is why testimonies are so important. Testimonies are so, so important. I am so tired. Excuse me. That's bad phrasing. I wish there was more modern stories that we could tell about rather than ones from 150, 200, 250 years ago. I want to hear what God's doing now in people's lives, not what happened 200 years ago. I got the Bible to look back at that, at what he did in times past. I want to see what God's doing now. Let's use our failures to encourage each other. Let's all stand. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to present your word, God. I pray that you'd help us to learn from our failures. I pray that you would help us to realize that when we fail, we can be sorrowful. You're there to restore us, God. I pray that you would help us to teach others, use our failures for your honor and your glory. In Jesus' name, maybe this morning you have failed. You're living in failure. Can I tell you that that's not where a Christian's supposed to stay? We're not supposed to stay flat on our face. We're supposed to get up, move past, and move forward. The altar is open. If God spoke to your heart, come and do business with Him. Our failures can be our greatest successes if we can learn to get over them. God's there to restore us. Use your failures. Don't bottle them up and keep them to yourself. Share them. I'm not saying go share all your faults with each other. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I've messed up here. I fell. I fell in this area of my life. I can see you struggling here. Let me help you. We strengthen each other. Strengthen thy brethren. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren.